Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And this week I'm sharing with you a witnessing weekend that I recently lived. And the things God spoke to me, dots he connected, which we've been talking about all week long. And today, the dot I want to connect with Tulsa and with the move of God and with the things I experienced while I was in Tulsa that weekend in Broken Arrow. I want to talk to you about a man. I've talked to you already about Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, and now I'm talking to you about Brother Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts is a treasury to the body of Christ. He's now in his 90s. He's a treasure to the greater Tulsa area, although perhaps not always appreciated. My own life may illustrate two sides of the coin of feelings about Brother Roberts. My great-grandparents, Carrie and Ike Pickard, I've shared with you, and you can read about them, and the early Pentecostal move in my book, The Road to Prayer Mountain, they were a part of the pre-Azusa Street outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Grandpa Pickard passed away in 1929, but Grandma Pickard didn't move to heaven until 1954. I knew her well. In fact, on our trip to Broken Arrow on Saturday, August 22nd, I drove by the house where I grew up. I also drove by the old mission church where she would come up and visit when they had special meetings. She'd drive her little terrapin up there. Now I'm going to read a little bit from my book, The Road to Prayer Mountain, about my Grandma Pickard. This will set the scene for you about my life and why I was mixed up about Oral Roberts. Grandma Pickard often drove her shiny black terraplane coupe from Coweta to Broken Arrow, where we lived, to attend meetings. Those meetings lasted quite late. When she crawled into bed beside me, where she always slept, she would awaken me. I was fascinated at how her body would jump a little when she would say all night long, "Hallelujah! Glory be to God!" And then sometimes she seemed to spurt out in a strange language. I propped myself up on my elbow and looked to see if her eyes were closed. They were. This happened in her sleep. One Sunday is imprinted on my mind. It was almost like every other Sunday in its events. Daddy, Mother, Pat, my little sister, and I would get out of church at Broken Arrow about 12 o'clock noon. We'd drive 10 miles to Coweta, where a chicken and dumpling dinner with all the trimmings awaited us at Grandpa and Grandma Cody's house. Grandma Cody was Grandma Pickard's daughter. We were usually finished eating before Grandma Pickard got home from her church, for services at the old mission in Coweta lasted as long as the Spirit moved. Grandma Pickard lived in a small house behind the Cody's. That day, that particular Sunday, when she came in to Grandma Cody's to fill her little wooden ice bucket from the refrigerator, we were having our usual after-dinner discussion. That Sunday, it was on the subject of religion. Our family and Daddy's sister's families were all denominational, and the discussions usually were about some of the tenets of faith of our denomination. Grandma Pickard spoke up from the side of the room. This caught my attention because usually she didn't get involved. "You all are all right as fur as you go," she said, "but you just don't go fur enough." Then she shook her long bony finger and looked up to heaven with a light on her face as she knowingly declared, "But one of these days you're going to see the light." At that, she began to laugh. I know now that it was holy laughter. And then she literally danced out of the kitchen, through the back porch down to her house. Everybody was silenced at the table. Nobody said a word. But her prophecy came to pass. The whole family came back to its Pentecostal roots, and I suppose I was the one with whom it began. The Pickards, my grandma and grandpa, great-grandmother, were noted people of prayer. When they were dividing up Grandma Pickard's things after she passed away, I was 15 years old, my mother showed me a small black notebook. It was evidently her little prayer journal. Its pages were dated, and on one she had written simply, "Prayed for Brother Robert's boy, Oral, today." My, how I'd wished we'd gotten that notebook, but it went to someone else. Grandma and Grandpa Cody always took me around the, later on, you know, after ORU was built in 1963, we'd drive up and go over the campus. They took me to the opening of Oral Roberts' new white glistening building I think it's on 15th Street. I'm not sure where it's on 4th. I'm not sure where it is, but it's that white building with the diamonds looking. And I remember how beautiful that looked in my eyes. That's prior ORU campus days. Later, they'd take me to the campus. They'd take me around the retirement village. If they went to Tulsa, they'd drive around Oral Roberts' property. And they said they'd like to live in that retirement village if they ever needed to. They never missed an Oral Roberts television program. And when I was in their house, I'd watch it too. But then, on the other side, with my denominational side, there was the trip down to Falls Creek, probably the summer of 1955, General Assembly Camp. This was between my junior and senior year in high school. And our pastor, a denominational pastor, drove the bus on a long trip. It was hours on a bus from Pryor down to southern Oklahoma. And it seemed like all the way he made fun of Oral Roberts. I remember sitting in my seat, two or three seats back, just confused. Because I had on this one side of the family, my Pentecostal side, I didn't really understand the Pentecostal side. I loved them, but I didn't know what they believed, really. But here he was making jokes about him. And he laughed, and he said the people were paid to pretend they received healing. And I'd always been taught to respect my pastor. So something was lodged in my spirit at 15 years of age, which came bubbling to the top when I was 28 years old and received the baptism with the Holy Spirit in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when Kenneth E. Hagin laid hands on me. Only 2 weeks before, I told someone speaking in tongues was of the devil, and then 2 weeks later, I was speaking in them. Why would I say such a thing? Well, it was charismatic renewal days, and lots of folk in our denomination were being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So our state monthly magazine came out with the headlines, "Speaking with Tongues is of the Devil." And like a parrot, I repeated it. Actually, I hadn't even read the article. But on that spring day, that beautiful spring day in April 1967, when Brother and Sister Hagin laid hands on me, I burst forth like a fountain with the language bubbling up from my spirit. How ecstatically happy I was. But then in that very meeting, I heard some Pentecostal people talking negatively about Oral Roberts. You see, the week I was filled with the Holy Ghost was the same week that he had taken his membership out of a Pentecostal denomination and had joined the Methodist Church. Oh, these folks were upset. Oh, I thought, with this new experience, I remember thinking this, I just now got it straight about Oral Roberts. Immediately, I heard the voice of the Lord. It boomed. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Whether he stand or whether he fall, I will make him to stand. Of course, he was speaking me directly from his holy written word. And in that instant, I was delivered from judging not only Oral Roberts, but any of God's servants. Recently, the Oklahoma State Senate and House of Representatives contacted Oral Roberts, now in his 90s, and he lives in California, and they asked him to travel from his home in California to Oklahoma City, where both houses of government wanted to honor him as a great Oklahoman. And when he went there, they gave him a standing ovation. I happened to be in Tulsa at the time. I always happened just to be places to pick up little witness tidbits and dots. I was going out my door at the hotel and picked up a newspaper, the Tulsa World, and it told about how the Senate and the House had honored him, how he spoke. They gave him a standing ovation, how he spoke. They even had most of his address in there. And I read the article. I went on to preach the next day at our church in Collinsville, Oklahoma, a glorious church fellowship. And I was just sitting there waiting for Pastor Lee to call me up. And the Lord said to me, concerning the article I'd read earlier, "Now, Oklahoma can know blessing." I was really quite shaken. But I realized that there had been lots of criticism and trouble for Brother Roberts when God was using him in such a magnificent way. And during this trip, he gave a radio interview to the KNYD Oasis Network Roadshow. His own daughter, Roberta Potts, asked most of the questions that day, please go on the KNYD website and listen to it. First, you go on oasisnetwork.org. Then you click on Roadshow. Then you click on Archives. And then you easily can see there Oral Roberts, the interview. I listened to it. I've listened to it more than once. And on it, and this is not that long ago. This is this year in his 90s. He's telling about his own youth and the beginnings of his service to God and how the Lord spoke to a boy to build him a university. I cannot begin to tell you the story. I know Brother Roberts. I went out last, June 2007, and my son Chip and I spent hours with him at his home. Had a Holy Ghost meeting, and that power of God just struck us all over. And there he spoke again about how God asked him to build a university. And of course, his daughter was questioning on that show. And of course, what I want to talk about and what happened to me on my recent witnessing week was, do the Oral Roberts students know this? Do they really know what God began and its place in the end time move of God? I also was thinking, do the Rhema students know? That's why we talked last week about Kenneth E. Hagin. These are great men of God with great calls for a great time. There are other great men of God. When we flew out there on that day, June 2007, the Lord gave me a message for Brother Roberts. Can you imagine? Give him a message. And Brother Roberts had, he thought he would go home when he was 87. And he had told me that. I'd been with him and Evelyn one day eating lunch, and he said, I'm going to go home when I'm 87. But now he's way past 87. He's up in 90s. So I knew he'd been trying to go home, and I was on the plane headed to his house, and the Lord said, I want you to give Brother Roberts a message. Tell him that as Paul said, I'm deciding whether to leave or to stay. Some men can decide and even pick out the dates of their going, but Oral Roberts and Billy Graham cannot. The day of their going is a sovereign date in my hand. And when they go, there will be a shifting in the heavenlies. What that means, I don't know. But I gave it to him that day, and he said that he received it. I just want all of us to know that something powerful is going on. Something supernatural tosses a keystone in it. We're going to have an awakening. You be sure to be at your county courthouse Friday from 12 to 1 praying for an awakening. I'll be in New York City near Ground Zero. All across America, we'll be asking from every county for God to pour out His Spirit upon us. This is Billy Brim. Shalom, shalom.